What up, though? I am your boy CB. That's Chill B, and this is the Chill Bravado Podcast, where I bring you a series called Laker 82-16, and that's where we cover the grind of an 82-game long season where it takes 16 wins to get the chip in the end. We are coming off a victory, you know, and some good things happened in this game. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to recap the Bulls win, you know, after we talked about the Bulls loss. Let's see what Pat Bev had to do this game, as well as we have the biggest game of the season, again, coming up today. It's Friday. We got the T-Wolves. So check this out, and we'll see what happens. Right after this, we'll get in that and much, much more. All right. Today, these are the things that we want to happen, you know, courtesy of one of the young prophets of Laker Nation, Trevor Lane. He tweets out, a big day. Here's what Laker fans should root for. Lakers win over the Wolves. Thunders lose to the Pacers. Clippers lose to the Grizzlies. Warriors lose to the Spurs. And the Celtics lose to the Jazz. And the Clippers and the Celtics, we just always wanted to lose. So it doesn't matter unless it benefits the Lakers. So if they're playing a meaningless game, we're still going to throw the Celtics in here. That's just what we do. Okay, they just smacked the Bucks, but who cares? We know what's going to happen when the playoffs start. They're going to make a run, and they're going to fall. They're going to flop. They're going to land right on their faces. And then we're going to be asking questions about the light-skinned Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and what should they do with Marcus Smart. And Malcolm Brogdon looks like he's 50, but he's still in the league. Al Horford probably is 50. Robert Williams can't stay healthy. Grant Williams like he's playing football. You know, all these questions will emerge as we talk about the Celtics. And don't let me get started on the Clippers. Oh, that's right. I don't really care about load management, but if the Clippers are doing it, I care about it because I want to talk bad about them. And that's what I do. But I'm not going to say anything about load management. I'm going to point that over to JR. JR from the All Things Sports Podcast, who has an issue with load management, who talks bad about Kawhi, who talks bad about Aaron Rodgers, who's talking crazy about my Okay, I'm getting into football. I'm sorry. Let's get right into the recap of the Bulls and the Lakers that came on Wednesday at Chicago. And it was a different story, a different tune, you know. And we're going to have a couple things we want to break down, but it was a victory, 121-110 against these Bulls. And it was fun. It was fun because you win. Okay, it's always fun to win, but it's also fun when you win in a certain way. All right, so let's talk about the starting lineup, our new starting lineup that the Lakers presented against these Chicago Bulls, who played this three-guard lineup of Alex Caruso and Pat Bev and Zach LaVine and then DeRozan and Vucevic. And then we come out the gates and we have AD, we have D'Lo back, we have LeBron, who's on his second game back. Austin Reeves enters the starting lineup, of course, again. And then Vando. And with this starting lineup out there, when I tell you it's been a long time. Oh, it's been a long time since I've seen the offense flow and move and cut and second actions and third actions. It's not just get the ball and ISO. No, it's get the ball. LeBron went to the post. We love Alex Caruso, but let me tell you something. The Caruso was a no-show because LeBron was not having it, okay? Listen, LeBron said, I'm going ball, but I still have more hair than Caruso. So Caruso was out there trying to go on LeBron. They were just posting him. And as soon as the double came, kick, swing, swing with the samurai boy, and then boom, the shot's made. Or swing, swing, cut, layup. You know, all these different things. The size overwhelmed the Bulls. And Patrick Beverley did not hit the too small sign this game. In fact, he had it done against him by the newly starting Austin Reeves, who was like, it's perfect. Like this starting lineup is not like the greatest starting lineup in the whole league or anything. Let's not get crazy. But it's the best lineup we have to offer because you have D'Lo, who really helps. I'm so glad he was back because having Dennis in there, A, you're taking all your ball handles and putting them on a starting lineup. It's not going to work. And we're going to talk about the bench in a minute, too, because everything wasn't, you know, peaches and cream. You know, shout out to 112. But it was just, you got skill. Austin Reeves has a different skill set But Dennis Schroeder does. You know, he, because Austin's kind of able to do a little bit of everything offensively. He can score a little bit. He can pass a little bit. He can, you know, ball handle it a little bit. Even though sometimes he gets a little loose when he tries to hit his, you know, he tries to get spicy and saucy, and sometimes it just doesn't work out. The hibachi comes out a little too early, and then, you know, you're off to the races the other way. But he's still a second year player undrafted. I'm not really here to criticize that man. And then let's roll into looking at D'Lo. D'Lo offers this wonderful ability to blend in, to fit the offense. He can play off the ball. He can hit the open shot. He can play on the ball. He can initiate a little bit of offense. He can find AD for the lob. He can get in the lane, hezzy, or he can get in the lane and just change the pace, and then boom, he cuts and gets the layup. It was just, and he has such a nice touch around the rim. I just love D'Lo's ability to finish, which is Vando's. I never noticed this when he was on the other teams, because I always admired his defense. But Vando, is his layup package and his 2K rating of layups and close shots has to be very low, because he cannot finish around the rim easy. It's like he makes every shot look so hard. But if he's not dunking, I'm pretty sure he's gonna miss the layup. It just, I don't know what it is. Like, I feel like he's athletic enough, he should just be able to go up and just dunk. But it seemed like something's there that makes him hezzy. And sometimes he has a problem catching the ball. But the defense is always there. The activity's always there. So you can't really get mad at Vando. That's just his flaw, man. It's the reason. It's the reason he is who he is. He hit a corner three, though. I think he hit two. He hit two shots from the corner. That's probably the only shot he's going to ever take. You know, and when he makes them, great. But when he misses them, then you're like, all right, Vando, let's swing. And then you get LeBron back in this game. He looks 10 times better even in this game than the first game he came back, because, A, I think you got D'Lo back. It helps, kind of balances out the attack. Him playing out of the post, first three possessions, straight LeBron in the post, make decisions, you know, lay it up, whatever you got to do. AD coming in being aggressive. I'm hearing Gilbert Arenas talk about how he needs to be the 1A guy and has to, you know, take over. But you heard my gripe. AD's not a point guard. AD's not a force like Giannis to dribble and go in and do all this thing in every aspect of the game. But it was some times where he would catch Vucevic and they would give him space, and he would be able to just, you know, in and out dribble real quick, move in the basket. But that's like, you know, 10 feet and in, 16 and in. It's not him operating at the top of the key trying to look to attack. It's a different story when you're attacking from that spot on the court. Very much like, it's amazing that Giannis and LeBron, these guys who were, quote, non-shooters in their careers, at, you know, especially early in LeBron's career, and even now you would rather him take a shot, but their ability to not be able to shoot, guys play off of them, and they still can force their way in the paint, kick out, or just dunk on you, or find ways to absorb contact and lay it up. AD's just not that type of athlete. But what he can do is he can get you in the bigs, and he can get in space, and he'll attack that, you know, that front foot, you know, that hip or whatever he needs to get you off balance. And then he's able to cut through and finish with his length. And that's his force. So I was enjoying watching all of that action going on. And when I come back, I'm going to tell you what I did not enjoy. And that was the bench unit. We'll be right back. All right, we are back, and I want to thank everyone who's tuning in, listening to the Chill Bravado Podcast, Series Laker 82-16. Yeah, the season's winding down, but hopefully we'll continue to talk basketball, because we'll be able to be in the play-in, in the playoffs, hopefully, and continue to move forward. Well, for everything else that you need sports-related, go check out my boy JR with the All Things Sports Podcast, where he breaks down a plethora of sports. And he hits on everything from the NCAA tournaments to MLB. He's in the middle of that series right now. You know, he dropped a bonus episode recently, giving his food for thought. And just check out all the things he has going on, NFL, NBA, of course. And, yeah, man, you can agree or disagree with him all you want. He doesn't care. He wants to give his take. We were just talking about Boston the other day, and we was texting about Jason Tatum. And I'm not going to give you what I said, but it's not all bad. So just check him out. Maybe he'll mention a little bit of it next time, and we'll be, you know, trying to link up and collab soon enough. But let him get his MLB off right now, and we'll listen to those, analyze those as we get ready for that season to get really going. You know, shout out to the Yankees. And now let's get to something that's not the Yankees. You know, You know, as a matter of fact, some of them probably need to go, you know, look at the past and see how deep the Yankees were when they were winning, when they were big time. Because, man, our bench unit really was just undesirable. Dennis Schroeder, Troy Brown, Rui Hachimura, Malik Beasley, Winyon Gabriel. Yeah, man, one thing I will say, Ham subbed everybody out and left like one starter in and just brought in four role players. And it just didn't look good. It didn't work. Dennis looked all out of sorts. Troy Brown, you know, you just kind of see. I feel like he should be the first guy in, him or Rui, playing with the starters. If you're going to take LeBron out early like you used to, I really don't know the rotation yet now. Austin Reaves need to be staggered, because just having Dennis as the only, you know, creator and ball handler, it's just not a good look, because Dennis is looking to score and attack. Not really a guy that can set up anybody. Troy can't set up for anybody. Rui, if you can get him the ball in his spots, he can create for himself, but he's not going to set up anybody. Malik Beasley, who we'll get to more in just a second, he's definitely not looking to set anybody up. And then Winyon Gabriel, of course, he's a hustle guy. Once again, another guy who's not setting anybody up. So when you take all these guys off and leave Dennis out there with other non-creators, and then Dennis, who out of our, you know, our ball handlers of LeBron, Austin Reaves, D'Lo, and Schroeder, he probably ranks dead and last as far as being a shot creator or, you know, just making plays for other people. It's not really his strongest thing to do. So when we took all our ball handlers out and left it all on Dennis to be the guy, it just looked terrible. Turnovers, just bad decisions. Defensively, we struggled. They were able to, their second unit, once again, smacked us in the mouth, you know, and that's really when they came back and got the lead. You know, it's just it was like 17 point lead down to, oh, we're down now. Oh, Chicago has, oh, okay, we're really in the, they're back in it. And then you see AD had to come back in, LeBron have to come back in, and it's just like, we can't afford for our bench to get out there and not stay at least even. You know, you can't let guys go on 9-0 runs and 8-0 runs and 10-0 runs Right after our starters just sat down, because it's not like we're going to just say, all right, LeBron, get right back up. You only had 2 minutes. Go back in with the foot. AD, hey, we know you played the whole first quarter, but I'm going to need you back out there. Go back in, you know. Oh, yeah, with the foot. Ain't his a foot, too? Yeah, one of the many. You know, and D'Lo, I know your hips been hurting you. I know you're back. You look well. You're moving well. Let's get you back out there with the hip. You know, it's like, we need these guys to stay as fresh as possible, and we just need guys to give good, valuable minutes off the bench, and we were not getting that. Rui had a couple good moments, but it's just not enough creation. For guys to play 21, 20, 16, 10, and 10 minutes, it was very just underwhelming and concerning. And Malik Beasley is the one that really has fallen from grace, because he was once that starter in there with the, you know, before LeBron went out, and it was Malik Beasley, D'Lo, Vando, AD, as well as LeBron. And that was the starting line. I was, oh, this is going to be cooking. Malik's going to feed off LeBron. You know, I was one of the ones saying, don't take him out the starting line until LeBron comes back. But he kind of just didn't play well enough, and the coaching staff had to make that pull. And I was against it at first, because I'm thinking, man, if you take Austin and put him in the starting lineup, the bench is going to struggle. And I don't know how much the offense is going to benefit. And then you got people like Jay Williams on TV saying that, oh, LeBron's going to hurt what Austin Reaves got going on. Who cares if what LeBron gives us is going to trump whatever Austin Reaves gives us. So, I know, this is worse. I didn't want to use the word, but it just made the most sense. LeBron's going to give us way more than what Austin Reaves can give us. So we can just find a way to sprinkle this in and get the best of both worlds. Fine, which I think is fine, because AD ends up with 38 and 10, okay? Two blocks, two steals. D'Lo had 17, okay? And he was just here and there, 7 for 12, shooting 2 for 4 from the three-point line. LeBron, 25, 7 and 4, you know? And then you got Reaves, who had 19 and 5. Vando, 8. 7, and you can't even count all the stuff he does, you know, defensively, you know, so you can't even really get him a stat line. So I think Austin's fine in the starting lineup. But what I also said, and it kind of looked like it, we really need him in the second unit too. So Ham and the coaching staff kind of figure out a way to stagger these guys. We can't have D'Lo, Reaves, LeBron, and AD all off the court at the same time. We're not that good. Like, if you mix and match, I feel like we'll be okay. We're good enough to have that type of rotation. And I feel like if Mo Bamba was still here, and hopefully he's going to be reevaluated and can come back, you know, soon. Those big minutes, because Wenyen Gabriel is not a five. He is like, he's a slender four, you know, very undersized four. Just activity level is just very much high level. So he, that's why he's able to overplay his, you know, his height and his size. You know, he's not big at all. Like, this brother, you know, come on, eat a sandwich. But Wenyen's not big. So Mo Bamba, that height really could benefit just having him play 6 to 10 minutes. And that would let you not have to have AD out there all the time playing that type. We can at least have someone who's going to make people think about going to the rim, because it was like an old lay line. Once AD went to the bench, it was just an open field. Like, all right, cool, let's go. Everybody get into the bucket. DeRozan did it. Zach LaVine did it. The young kid, I can't say his name, for Chicago did it. Only person that couldn't do it was Patrick Beverley. Patrick Beverley went in there and he was trying to do the whole pump fake, pump fake, pump fake. And LeBron was sitting there like, nah, that's what he said. And when we come back, we're going to break down this matchup against the Wolves, because I'm tired of talking about the Bulls, because the Bulls is a bunch of BS and it's over now. No more Patrick Beverley. You're too small. Shout out to Austin Reeves. Highlight of the game. Next, T-Wolves. We'll be right back. All right, we are back, and let's get right to the matchup that we've been looking for. Lakers, T-Wolves, we got a little revenge, want to get on them. It's fun. You know, we got some guys who used to play for Minnesota. But before I get into that, I was looking, and I'm kind of bummed by the news. I was like, okay, let me look at this lineup again and just kind of talk how the versatility they have at certain spots that gave us fits without LeBron, without D'Lo. And then I look at Naz Reid broke his wrist, like, or has like a fracture. So he suffered a broken wrist and will miss a significant amount of time. Dang. And Naz Reid's been playing well. And I know me and JR have been talking about him. You know, I think he was ready to move on from like Cat or something because of Naz Reid's fit with his team. But him off the bench, he hurt us in several matchups, even and not just this year, but prior to. Like, I was like, dang, this guy always kind of has, you know, good moments against us. So it's kind of sad. At this point in the year, where they're making their push and they're trying to get healthy, but then I heard they had like a little flu bug or something going through their locker room as well. So it says Kyle Anderson is probable with illness; he's probably going to play. And Edwards' illness, he's probably going to play. I don't know how that's going to affect the energy these guys have. So hopefully they're going to be able to, you know, get some fluids in them and be ready to go tonight. Towns is probable for the right calf strain, but hopefully he'll be able to go, because, you know, just seeing him finally get back out there, a guy who's had a long time to get healthy. And I think they're just being precautious with him. He showed some good signs in the game. He did the Mikal Bridges goofy three-point celebration, and Mikal said, hey, you too many fingers, my guy. So he got to work on the celebrations. You can't be trying to steal a celebration, you're going to do it wrong. Questionable for them is Torin Prince. Rivers. Oh, not Matt Ryan. He's on his team? I did not know. Noel, he has left knee tendonitis or something of that nature. So it's unfortunate that they might be at risk of being shorthanded. But nevertheless, these guys that have Ant Edwards, Kyle Anderson, JD McDaniels, Mike Conley, these guys gave us fits when we didn't have D'Lo and LeBron and Dennis and Austin. Yeah, I got to make sure I'm saying it right. I'm about to say Rivers. Oh, no. Austin Reeves. Rivers. Yeah, but Reeves. These guys had a hard time with their perimeter ball pressure. If you don't remember that episode, I was talking about how they really got up under our guys and and they were able to really, you know, be effective in that. And they just sucked the life and the juice out of our team, because we had no answer for these guys pressuring up on us. And I really felt like no LeBron and no D'Lo in that game really, really kind of just showed itself. And now we have both of them back. And D'Lo, who is no longer listed on the injury report, which is great. So hopefully that means that hip and everything is worked out. and we're good to go with him. And let's hope we can stay healthy on this path that we're on. So now when you add in another ball handler like D'Lo, who can handle the pressure a little better, because Chicago tried to do it, it didn't work. He just shifty enough. You're not going to speed him up. You're not going to slow him down either. It's like he kind of going to have his own pace. Now you might get the best of him, you know, here and there, but if he's on his game, you're not really going to bother him with that. He knows how to create separation. Use his size to his advantage. And then you add LeBron to that mix. Now this is where it's going to be great, because, okay, Jaden McDaniels was pressuring up on, you know, certain guys. And now who y'all going to put on who? Who's Ant going to guard now? Is Ant going to go guard LeBron? Or is Jaden McDaniels, when he come in, is he going to guard him? Is Mike Conley? Who is Mike Conley going to guard? Is Mike Conley going to guard D'Lo? Well, let's get to the bigs. Cat. Gobert. Cat's going to guard who? AD? Oh, so Gobert's going to guard Vando, so he can say, I'm gonna play off of him, and now I'm going to be able to roam. Okay, well, Mike Conley's going to be guarding one of the bigger guards, and okay, LeBron, if we go to switch hunting, give me that screen, let me get Mike Conley on me if I'm LeBron. Okay, now, what are you going to do now? I'm going to back this guy in, or I'm going to be able to see over the top of him, make any pass I want. Now it's a mismatch somewhere. Oh yeah, by the way, where's Anthony Davis? My God, who is guarding Anthony Davis? Who wants to get in foul trouble this game? That's my question. Who wants it? So now that we have our guys who are going to be able to handle the pressure and this, and should have a better chance at the perimeter defense, what matchups are you wanting to give up? Because you're not going to be, because if Gobert and Cat are on the floor at the same time, we're making Cat play sideline to sideline. We're making him have to run across and screens and have to come over the top and come go underneath and chase AD maybe. Gobert, you're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to camp out in the paint, and then we're gonna do our switcheroo, get Conley, get you guys scrambling around, and now we're gonna see what type of defenders you guys really are if we're on our game. So that's what I want to see. What are you gonna do when the game is now and the ball's in our favor? Now on the other end, I mean, we're just gonna have to play tough. Like Gobert, we're not worried about him primarily offensively, but we have to be able to shore up the back line, because if someone gets to the basket and miss, we can't allow Gobert to continue to get these tip-ins and these dunks and just get and be able to feed into that, because we don't want him to have any type of effect on the second chance points and the offensive glass for them. That's going to be key. Can we control the boards and give and don't give up second chance points? Now, Cat, it depends on how he's shooting. If his shot's off, we're probably going to be fine, because if his shot's falling, his confidence is going to go through the roof. And Edwards, I still would like to see him have to make multiple decisions offensively. I don't want him to be able to just say, okay, I'm getting by you, I'm going to attack the basket. Or I don't want to be like, okay, we're just going to give him wide open threes the whole game. No, I want to be able to, let's blitz him from time to time, make him think he's coming. Let's have times where our defenders, maybe Vando might have to guard him. And let's see what he can do against a guy who's long, and make him shoot tough twos. Let's make him get in that paint or think about trying to get in the paint and see what he does when he has to kick it out. Is he going to swing? Let's not let Mike Conley dictate the offense and find ways to get guys in position to be successful. Let's let them make the mistakes, and we're going to be running the other way, and we're going to see what those two giants they have can do when we make this a transitional game, and then we come down and make this a cat and mouse game. So it's several things that we can do that can get us to win tonight. I hope that it happens. I'm going to end it right there. I'm excited about this game, because this is going to be a test also for Ham. What can you do to capitalize the momentum we have with this starting lineup? What can you do to correct the mistakes of the bench? We are here for it. This is the Chill Bravato Podcast. This is Laker 82-16. All right, y'all. I'm calming down, because you never know. You never know how this is going to go. But we'll find out, and we'll talk about it next time.